Welcome back to another episode of Chats with Clark. I'm the host, Joe Clark. Thanks for tuning in. And as you know, here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. So the point today is my very special guest, Karin. Karin, how are you? Thanks for coming in.
I'm so good. How are you?
Yeah,
I love that intro. That's really good.
Thanks. It's fun. We just like to get to it. So
yeah, I love that.
Well, I'm happy to have you here. Karin is now a touring musical artist. We graduated from the same school. We have connections in that way. But Karin, I'm excited to hear about your stories and the music and the journey that is Karin's life and career, dare I say.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Absolutely. Yeah. It's been a wild couple years since graduating, but it's been really fun and really cool. So thanks for having me on. I'm really happy to be here.
Absolutely. Yeah. You've got the mic. You're all set up.
Yeah. It's funny, huh? Yeah, I tried. I wanted to make sure it sounded good for you.
Yeah, thanks. Do you want to walk us through your background a little bit? Maybe where you grew up, how life started for you, and kind of what you did?
Yeah. So I grew up in Chardon, a little east of Cleveland, probably 45 minutes northeast in the snow belt, with two older brothers who were playing pretty much every sport in the book, which meant I played every sport in the book, because if I wanted to play, I had to do what they did. Cause I was the only girl and I was the youngest. So I had to keep up with them. Sports became probably my number one from a really early age. I think my dad bought me a little Tykes basketball hoop for my second birthday. And that was pretty much the end of the story for me. Basketball quickly became my whole world. I started training every day with a really amazing trainer when I was 12 and had big dreams to play D1. Got through high school, had all of the rows laid out, and then John Carroll called and threw everything off. And I gave up my dream of playing D1 so I could play for D3 school, because for whatever reason, my spirit knew that's where I needed to go.
Yeah.
So played basketball through college, graduated from John Carroll in 2019, had no idea what to do with my life. I studied like 9 things in college and couldn't really figure it out. I just felt like people were dragging me around and telling me what I should do. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. And it wasn't until my senior year in the fall that I did a meditation around the question, what is my purpose? Because I was tired of not having an answer to the question. So what are you going to do when you graduate? So I did the meditation around what my purpose was, and film and video came through, which made no sense because I didn't know anything about that, didn't study that at all, but it was a really clear meditation. So I started telling people about it. One thing led to another. I got connected to an incredible mentor and filmmaker in Cleveland named Jarrell Sison. And he totally took me under his wing, showed me everything, told me what camera to buy, what lenses to buy, started giving me lessons. Like he was pretty much, I was his apprentice in a lot of ways. He brought me on shoots with him. He started sending me on shoots by myself. He just kept believing in me, and mm-hmm. him believing in me made me believe in me. And after I came home from this crazy long summer of traveling, which we can talk about a little bit more, I moved downtown, started a video company, and that kind of slowly carried me into a more creative scene in Cleveland. And I started meeting more musicians and going to open mics. And that's when my life started to flip flop from video being my full-time career to music being my full-time career. So
wow. I'm always fascinated to hear how one thing leads to another. And Jarrell is great. Like, what a reasonable, nice dude. So that is a great mentor right there.
He's an exceptional human being. I would not be anywhere close to where I am without him.
So you said you studied like 9 things. What did you end up finishing with? What was the?
Yeah, I ended up, I always had business. That was a minor of mine from the beginning, but I ended up with my BSBA in international business and Spanish.
Wow, that's cool. Can you speak fluently?
Not quite. I know that if I lived, like if I moved to Spain or some Latin American country and I was there for about a month, I could probably be fluent by that time. I would say I'm very close. I'm very conversational, but I can't say I'm fluent.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer. I want to be.
You could do it. I mean, that's something that's not going to go away. I mean, it'll come right back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm just so fascinated. It makes sense that that's what I ended up with my degree. because I have always been so fascinated with culture and language, and was checking. I remember checking out French books when I was in the third grade, trying to teach myself French then. And I just like had that memory because I'm trying to teach myself French now, because I just love language. I love travel. I love experiencing different walks of life. So it makes sense that that's what I ended up with my degree, but I'm not quite there with my goals for my language learning, but hopefully I'll get to travel some more, maybe for music, fingers crossed.
Absolutely.
I just want to explore. I'm just way too curious of a person.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much personality to expand to the world. You know what I mean?
Like
why just stay in one spot?
Yeah. I don't know. I just like, I know at some point I will probably feel like I want to settle at least for a little bit, but I'm just so curious and I want to explore everything. And there's so many places in the world that I'm fascinated with at least one thing, whether it's the nature or the food or the language. And I just like can't imagine not spending my whole life traveling and discovering other human beings and how so they cool. think and how they feel and how they experience their life.
So you said that one summer after Jarrell was kind of training you, or whatever word you want to use, mentoring you, yeah, got to travel around a little bit for all these shoots. What was that like? Where'd you go? What were you doing? Who were you shooting and video?
Yeah, well, a lot of my travel, I've done some traveling for video, but the big travel experience that I had after I graduated was I decided to uproot everything. I quit my job, sold my house, broke up with my partner, or at least asked for space from my partner, bought a bike and decided to bike down the East Coast with a friend of mine that I grew up with, but hadn't talked to in like 5 or 6 years. It had been a long time. We went to high school together, but didn't really keep in touch in college. Mm-hmm. And we reconnected at the very end of my senior year. She told me about this trip that her and her two buddies were going on. And she invited me to come. And I was like, dude, I can't come. I have a job. Like I have a big girl job. Like I can't just not go to work for 2 weeks so I can go biking. Like, yeah. What is that? But I realized that there was so much missing. And so I said, yeah. And I bought the bike and I went cycling for 2 weeks down the East Coast. And that was like the beginning of the music journey for me. I think I was suffering and was confused and lost on what to do with my life. And music started to creep in on that trip at the very end. And then about 5 days after that trip ended, I packed my suitcase up and flew out to Seattle to meet my dear friend from college, Katie O, for a 5 week long road trip out west.
Whoa.
Yeah. That was like when a lot of self-discovery started to come through and a lot of the songwriting started to come through. So that trip was insane.
Yeah. So not to back you up, just before we talk about Seattle real quick and KDO, so you're on this trip, you just got this bike. I mean, it's amazing how like you had the courage to go. I mean, like you stopped working and this is a person that you hadn't talked to in 5-6 years. Yeah. And that's a big trip. And that's, I've done a lot of biking too. And like, it's a lot of work and stuff. You know what I mean? It's kind of a cumbersome activity to be going down that whole coast.
Yeah.
I was going to say, when did the music creep in? You said it creeped in at the end, and how was the conversation? Like, what did you discover on this trip that was kind of coinciding with you, the suffering and the trauma that you explained a second ago?
Well, I guess that it really started before we left, but my own music didn't start until the end of that cycling trip. So this friend of mine, she and I always played music together. She was an athlete as well and liked to sing. And we just had a lot in common in that way. So in high school, we like did the talent show together or something like that. And so music was always in our relationship. So when she came back into my life at the end of senior year, she just showed up to one of my playoff games. And I was like, hey, dude, what are you doing here? Like, I haven't talked to you in forever.
Yeah.
And she said, great game. You need to come to the studio with me. And I was like, what? She's like, you need to come to the studio with my team and I. I'm like, why? She's like, I'm telling you, I just think you're going to like it. And I was like, all right, well, I don't have the time right now. I'm working full time. I'm taking classes and I have basketball. This is, you know, when basketball ends, I can come. So I did. I went after basketball ended, and I'm in there with them, and it was like something sparked. I don't know. There was something in my chest that I felt, I hadn't felt that alive and that energized in a long time, like a long time. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be around all the time. I wanted to be in there with them whenever they needed me or wanted me there. Yeah. So I started going, I started helping her with her own songs. I was like writing songs with her, and they were taking my feedback and they liked my ideas and were like, hey, you're actually like not that bad at this. I'm like, wow, that means a lot, guys. Like,
thanks. Wow. Yeah.
Who would have ever thought? Cause I've always loved to write, but never, you know, never songs. I liked writing poetry or little short stories, or just like, honestly, I liked writing research papers in college a lot. I'm such a nerd.
Okay. Yeah. No, writing's an art.
Yeah. So even that, that experience of being in the studio with them catalyzed something in me that I don't think I even knew what was happening at the time, but it like stirred the pot for me.
Yes.
And so when I went on this trip with them at the very end, we were in this hostel in the forest in Georgia. It's actually what it's called, the hostel in the forest. Such an epic place.
Oh my gosh.
But there was this like,
it's like a horror movie.
No. Well, actually, when we first got there, it was so wild and weird that I actually did think like, okay, this is either going to be the best experience of my life or I will die here.
Yeah, there's no in between. So I'm glad it was the best experience.
There was no in between. It was like, it's hard to describe, but you just need to go there if you're curious, because it's like, it's serenity at its finest. And I think that's why it was so weird.
Okay.
Because you were truly cut off from like civilization. You were in the forest with people who are so peaceful, who grow their own food. Like, yeah, I think the serenity of it was eerie because we're so used to chaos. Like, we're normalized in chaos, and this was like true peace. So it was hard to understand. But anyway, there was this music room there in the center of this hippie commune type thing that was a dome. It was a wooden dome that on the inside, it looked like a honeycomb, and it was filled with all these instruments. And in the middle of the room, there were like instruments that travelers had left behind and donated to the hostel for people to play when they came traveling through. And in the middle of this room was an open guitar case with a Martin guitar in it, which if you know anything about guitars, or if you don't know anything about guitars, Martin guitars are really nice. They sound beautiful. They're like one of the best brands for acoustic guitars, and they're expensive. So getting to play one is like, at least for me, it was a big deal. And it was just sitting there open in the case, like begging, will somebody come play me? And so I did. And I walked over and I locked myself in this room for like 2 days straight. And that's when I wrote the song Honeycomb, which is all about that room and the instruments that were in there that were like swaddling me as I was finding myself as this newborn post-grad adult child.
Right.
Yeah. So that was like the beginning of it. And that Honeycomb and Mr. Cleveland came from that place, which are two of my favorite songs. So it's cool knowing that they are both written in that sacred space.
That story is special. And it really echoes kind of the mentality of many singers, where it's like you experience something so profound that you write a song on the spot. Like, I feel like you hear that all the time. Like, if you like look at like George Harrison, he's always like, oh, well, he's probably tripping on something. He's like, well, this is and I'm experiencing this, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that is so how it goes. So that's awesome that you had that really to catalyze the whole journey that's now the center of your life.
Yeah, that really kickstarted. I think going to the studio with my friend and her pals kickstarted it. But then that experience of writing these two songs that like, I never planned on sharing them with anyone definitely not recording and releasing them. Like up to this point, I am not an artist. I'm not a musician. I am a floundering ex basketball player and business student, like trying to figure it out. I had no intention of these things ever being what they are now, but that was like the first moment where I was like, whoa, I feel a release in writing and singing this. Like, genuinely singing Honeycomb calms me down. It like brings it. It's like jumping in a pool of cool aloe after getting sunburned. Like that's how Honeycomb feels when I sing it. And like realizing that, holy cow, this, whatever this music thing is healing me. Like, I just want to do more and more and more of it because I'm in pain. It was never about anybody else. Mm-hmm. I never even thought that it could potentially help somebody else. Like, why would it mean anything to anyone? It's only meaningful to me. That's what I thought. And it was like, okay, I'm just going to keep writing these for me because this is helping me process the emotions that I'm going through. And then when I came home and realized that people were listening to them, like when I was showing my family and friends, like, hey, I wrote this tune out in the Sierra Nevada. What do you think?
Yeah.
You know, they were saying like, this is helping me. And then something like clicked in my mind, like, wait a minute, you mean to tell me that this activity that brings me so much healing and relaxation is bringing you peace? Like, so like, this is an actual, cause I like only care about serving other people really. Like, that's why I'm here. That's why we're all here. We're here to have a beautiful life for ourselves and lift other people up along the way. At least that's how I feel.
Beautiful.
And so realizing that something that I loved to do that brought me healing could potentially be of service to someone else. To me, that is my purpose. That's what I was striving for when I was traveling. Like, what am I supposed to do? What is my purpose? And it ended up being this because it was the intersection of something I enjoyed and something that I could make money from potentially and something that could serve somebody else. Like I could make a living on relaxing myself and relaxing other people. Wow. I'm going to certainly try.
Absolutely. You know? Karen, that's great. And when you hear other people kind of singing your praise a little bit, it's not that you are searching for that, but it does like affirm you. It's like, you know what, this can happen. Like you need that. Mm-hmm. So shout out to
your family. Definitely an affirmation.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it lets me know that I'm doing, it lets me know that I'm on the right path because the mm-hmm. minute anything I'm putting out into the world is not of service, we have to stop and reevaluate because it's not about me. It will never be about me. It always needs to be about the other because that's how I want to live my life. So it's cool when I do hear that positive feedback because it's like a lighthouse for me. Like, okay, just keep trying, keep figuring it out, keep struggling through it, keep learning, keep growing.
And as long as there's that one or those two that are reaching out to you, you know that it's directly influencing them, let alone everyone that doesn't say anything. Cause that's the reality. There's so many people out there that don't say anything,
but
those people that are saying something, you're like, man, like I can put a name right now or a face to a name that I am directly influencing and helping and serving and all that through your sung words. Like that's profound, really.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's very cool. It's very cool. Just seeing who gravitates to the music and why, you know, because I know that my music is not everybody's cup of tea and that's great. There are musicians that don't resonate with me as much and that's wonderful. That's why there's a collection of us because we're all trying to provide a different angle or a different aspect of something for somebody else. So it is amazing and it's sacred anytime somebody new comes in to the world and says, hey, this is something that I like, or this is something that's helping me. You know, it's like, wow, I'm honored that you're here.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. So Karen, you write these two songs, you're in playing this guitar and then you come home and then thoughts are stirring and then you go to Seattle. What fill us in from there? So
yeah.
So or anything that I missed.
No. Yeah. So I come home from my cycling trip. I realize that the woman that I asked for space from is actually the woman that I feel I'm meant to be with. And some of my insecurities and fears and doubts started to dissolve in realizing that, like, I love her and what we have is beautiful. And I'm so sick of letting my insecurities and my fears around what other people are saying deter me from being happy and being with the person that I want to be with. So I came home like gung ho. Cause I only asked for space. I'm like, this isn't a separation. I just need time alone to figure out what's going on. So when I came home, I like spilled my guts. And of course she was like, that's great, but you have to prove to me that you're serious because I don't trust you. You just left, you know, and fair. I did. You're right. So I will do whatever I can to make sure that you believe that I'm here and that I love you and that I will do anything to make this work. But unfortunately, I had to leave again in 5 days because I had this road trip already planned with my friend. And it wasn't just a road trip. Like we started, well, she started this movement our senior year called Ode to JCU, which was an invitation to seniors to write a written expression of some person, place, or moment from John Carroll that impacted their 4 years. It was like a cheers to, here's to everything that makes John Carroll great that we can pass down or invite other students that aren't seniors yet into that professor's world or into that group or whatever. And so she needed a photographer. So I did all the photos for her. And so we kind of teamed up on this project and decided that we wanted to take it beyond the little bubble of John Carroll and just make it into a movement called Ode that would be this invitation to pause, recognize, and celebrate the moments in our lives that are impactful to us. So we had this whole like idea. We didn't know what we were doing. She knew what she was doing. I didn't know what I was doing, but
we were taking the pictures. You had it.
Yeah, I didn't know, but she had such an amazing idea for this. And we just wanted to travel all around the country, spreading this concept around. And so that's what we did. We met in Seattle and we had this big O trip planned, like started in Seattle, went down the East Coast, down Highway 1 through the Pacific Northwest. And then we cut over to Yosemite and we went, you know, through Utah and Colorado and Wyoming and Montana. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
But it was also during that time where I was trying to fight for my relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really hard because I was trying to convince this woman back home that I was here while I was 2,000 miles away or however many miles it is. I don't know.
Yeah. The other side of the USA.
So. The other side, the West. So it was really challenging. And I felt like as soon as I had gotten out there that she had thrown this big wall up and shut me out. And I couldn't process this not working out because even when I asked for space, I knew that she was my wife. I just needed my heart and my head to get on the same page because my heart was there, but my head was filled with fear. And so realizing that this isn't going the way that I thought it was going to go was to me, it was a failure. And I unpacked all of this like way after the fact, but it was like all the alarms and bells and whistles went off in my body during that time. Like I'm failing. And as an athlete, failure isn't really welcomed.
Yeah, you do everything
your worth is dependent on your performance. And your performance is dependent, like the outcome of the game is dependent on your performance. So the outcome of the situation and getting back together with my girlfriend wasn't happening, which means my performance was off, which means I failed, which means I'm not worth anything. So you can see like the lineage of the mindset. So it was a really challenging time for me. I was in so much pain, also just in pain of missing my friends and not knowing what to do with my life, you know, like the natural things that you experience when you graduate. And so that's when I really started writing a lot of songs. Like there had to have been like 25 during that time. I've only shared one album, but there's like a lot.
Wow. And that was all while you were out there. So you were writing this in the middle of doing this ode.
Movie. Yeah. Trying to do this movement, trying to travel, trying to enjoy myself. And that's kind of like what this whole happy healing concept means, which is like all over my stuff is like that experience of traveling with my friend was so happy, like so happy. We had the time of our lives. We were traveling through the most beautiful parts of our country, free as a bird, but I was also really heartbroken and really lost at the same time. So it was like this weird paradox of crying, looking at these unbelievable mountains, crying also because I'm like, man, I can't tell her about any of it because she's not talking to me. You know, it's like I wanted to share in the experience with the person I loved and I couldn't. And a lot of the places that we were traveling to, her and I had talked about going to as a couple ourselves. So there was a lot of that going on, which is like, I feel so relatable. I feel like so many people have those moments like, man, you know, I wish you were here with me. I wish, you know, we said we were going to do this and then we didn't. So just like all of those expectations crumbling and trying to let go while trying to find yourself at the same time.
Oh my gosh. I could see totally too, how you're experiencing all this and you decide, you know what, if I can't talk to her and I'm experiencing all these things and it's both good and bad, like emotion wise, it's so, yeah. It's such a boring way to say it, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then you decide, I'm going to exert all of that into a song, or in this case, many songs. Like, that makes so much sense, because it's like, hey, like, I'm writing this. You could see or put yourself where I was when you hear this.
Yeah, that's the goal, at least. Yeah. I just want to write so honestly of what my life experience is, because I feel like there is no way to truly live your life without being vulnerable and being honest. Like, there's no reason to pretend like you're not experiencing what you're experiencing. Like, whatever it is, it's okay. Like, you are safe, you are loved, you are worthy of taking up space and sharing what you're going through. So that's what I mean, I'm trying to do that consciously now, but at the time I had no idea what I was doing. I was simply purging my emotions. So, but I'm thankful for how it went, because now I've realized, like, that's how I want to be as a songwriter. Mm-hmm. Some of my favorite songwriters, Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell, like, you listen to their songs and they are gruelingly honest and vulnerable and real. And that's why I love them, you know, like, right. So I want to be like that.
You kind of touched on it. Do you have other influences too, do you think? And like, did you start to dissect any of that while you were on this trip? And then also, I'm curious too, however you want to take all this, I'm curious, what was Katie O's role too? Like, so you're experiencing all this stuff and you're so far away from home and you're in Seattle and all of the surrounding areas. And you guys have a special friendship. So what is her role? Did she have any advice? And like, how did that relationship play a role into what you then decided to do going forward?
Yeah, Katie O, I mean, my gosh, she is one of my favorite people on the planet. She's so brilliant. Like, her role as far as Ode goes, is she was the visionary for all of it. Like, it was her baby, not mine. Like, she was so generous to bring me along and let me be a part of the process. And she trusted me. I think she overestimated my knowledge, because I didn't know anything about starting a movement or building a brand or I had just gotten an Instagram. Like, I didn't know social media at all. I never liked social media. I never wanted it in college. So she really knew, and she studied entrepreneurship as well. So she had just been creating lots of really amazing projects up to this point. And so she had the vision for everything. And I was kind of her go-to person with, I don't know, just editing things, whether it be videos or photos or copy. I was kind of like her sounding board when she wanted to bounce ideas off, and I would give my feedback, but ultimately, like, she was the one with the mindset, like, of what this was going to be. But it's like, on a personal level, she held so much space for me, and it was draining for her. You know, I was draining. I was a vacuum of energy in a lot of moments on that trip. Like, I'm sure that she was so frustrated and confused. Like, why can't you just enjoy yourself? We're traveling through the most amazing parts of this country. What is the problem? Like, why can't you put your sadness in a box for the day, or find enough gratitude for what you're experiencing right now to not be destroyed all day over a relationship? Like, I'm sure that it was frustrating for her. I'm sure that it was exhausting for her, but you wouldn't have known. No, you know, you wouldn't have known. She was so supportive. She was always there when I needed to cry. She was there to make me laugh. You know, she was just there. She's just one of those people that's like, she's just such a solid human being. So I thank her. Like, we still talk about it all the time.
Yeah,
and we still talk about wanting to go on another trip. Like, now that we're both like in a good place in our lives and we have more structure and stability and direction with what we're doing. But yeah, she was amazing. She is amazing.
Gosh, that's great. You know, friends are the best. I mean, you just like, best. They are like, you get good friends, you have family, like, people like that are just, oh man, it's special. It really is special. So I'm really glad to hear that she was there. And of course, let's be honest, it is just not realistic to take, like, just to categorize things. Like you said, like, take your sadness and put it in a box. Like,
I know,
you know, that I know that we all hopefully know that that is just absolutely unrealistic, despite whatever's in front of you, these mountains or whatever you're seeing. Yeah. And so let's fast forward a little bit, Karin. So now you're touring, right? You have another show coming up at the Winchester soon with your full band. You've got another single coming out, and we'll talk all about that. So just a little teaser for everyone listening, but fill in those gaps, right? Your partner is your producer now. I mean, what like a, I don't want to say a 180, but like in a short amount of time, a very life switch occurred for you.
Yeah, 100%. So came back from that trip, started my video company, started trying to figure out how to exist as an artist in Cleveland. Cause I had pretty much blown all of my money traveling, had $10 left in my bank account after I put my deposit down on my apartment downtown.
Yeah.
Cause I knew I was like, it was the stupidest thing I could have done, but it was also the smartest thing I could have done because I learned really quick how to survive as an entrepreneur, especially doing something I didn't have any experience in. So I was alone downtown living in a studio apartment as a full-time freelancer doing videography, which I didn't study, had no experience in, and had literally made my first video like that month.
That's awesome.
Ridiculous.
Life on the edge. Absolutely ridiculous. Seriously. Yeah.
And so because of that, plus all of my friends being all over the world doing a year of service, I didn't have any buddies to kick it with, especially while I was having a hard time. So I started going to every single creative event in Cleveland that I could find just to meet with people and network and make new friends and ask questions. I just had a lot of questions like, how do you make money doing this? How do you survive doing this? How do you actually make a living being an artist? Because I don't think people understand, like, it's really hard to express your worth as an artist. Like, it's challenging.
Sure.
But in spending so much time around the city and networking with people, I started going to more open mics. I started playing my songs for more people and realized like, I don't know, people are starting to enjoy this. Maybe I enjoy this. Still wasn't thinking about an album, but was, you know, the music was starting to come in a little bit more into my life.
Yeah. And are you still trying to rectify the relationship too?
With my ex?
Yeah. Is that still?
Oh yeah. I was fighting. Yeah. Okay. Like I moved home. Oh yeah. Continued fighting for her until honestly this time last year. So it was a while. Well, actually probably till August of last year. It was a while. So,
end of summer 20.
End of summer. Yeah. End of summer 2020. Yeah. So, all of quarantine, everything. So quarantine hits and I was living downtown alone and downtown was shutting down. So I was like, okay, I should probably just move home and be with my parents because I'm going to be really bored. So I moved home. All of my video jobs pretty much evaporated overnight because of COVID.
So tough time to start.
Horrible. Yeah. Horrible time. And I had really like finally started finding momentum because I started the business in August. And by March, I had like figured out something. I figured out how to not have $10 in my bank account every month after paying my rent. You know, I had figured something out. Right? Yeah. So I was happy to even still be on my feet, but then COVID really like knocked me out. But it was the best thing that could have happened for me because I had so much time now that I didn't know what to do with that I started just like asking myself questions. And one of the questions I asked myself was, well, how many songs have you written since you graduated? Like, let's just write them all down and see how many you have and look at them all. Maybe there's something here. Like, still didn't know what was coming.
Yeah.
But I laid them all out on this piece of paper and tried categorizing them into EPs based on the theme of the song or the style of the music. And pretty quickly realized, like, as I'm looking at them all, oh my God, there's two albums here, but there's one album here that's like ready.
Okay. Yeah.
Like it's complete. And it was like pulling, you know, it was like trying to take this song here and this song here and put it all together in like a story, an actual concept of, it was my life journey from graduating until that moment. And I was like, oh my God, this is an actual album. Wait a minute. I could do this. I have time. There's no way for me to do video right now, but I can set up all of this music stuff without needing to go anywhere. I can build the brand, build the color palette, build the font, you know, typeface. I can build the website. Like I can create a world digitally during this time where I can't go anywhere. So that's what I started to do. And I had already played out one show right before quarantine hit, where I met my now guitarist, who is like hopefully going to be with me for life. I love him.
Good.
But I realized that I had this album, and then it was a matter of building the team. He was the first one. I had reconnected with another friend from high school who has an incredible voice, who is now my supporting singer. And then I met Tori. And that whole story is like crazy, but she became my producer over video work. Like, she emailed me about video work through my website, and we got together, started playing music together. Turns out she was my cousin's childhood best friend. That's how she heard about me in the first place. So it's just like all crazy. And we decided, like, I asked her if she would try producing one of my songs. And after working on one song, we were like, oh yeah, you're going to do the whole album. Like, we don't even need to talk about it. And we slowly started to fall in love during that process of making the record together, because it's such a vulnerable process, like such a vulnerable process. So
you're pouring yourself out in those songs. And
yeah,
like for anyone who, like, I've seen some music produced too, like there's a lot of times you're trying it again, even just small little snippets. So not only is it vulnerability in one song, but it's vulnerability maximized, because one song is a lot of different times and a lot of different angles. I'm like, oh, we'll try this and that. So you're really getting to see, she's really getting to see you, and you're really getting to see how she responds and how she embraces that, and also works with you and produces it. And like, you're working together. So that's, I believe it.
Well, it's such a beautiful dynamic, because, and this is, it grew into being this way because some of the songs on this album are painful to listen. They're painful to listen to, let alone to make. And so there'd be days that I would come in already upset, and like just knowing that I have to sing "I'm sorry" today. And like, that day really sticks out the most. Like, knowing that this was the day that I needed to sing my heart out. This was like my last final "I'm sorry" to my ex, that I broke your heart and that this didn't work out because I couldn't figure myself out quickly enough. And was sobbing in here. Like, I'm in the studio right now and I was sobbing in here, and she just held space for me. And her seeing me open up and break down, then she started opening up about the things that she was going through and the things that she was struggling with. And now all of a sudden, like, we're really connecting in this vulnerable, personal way, and we're building so much trust as friends. But that was translating into the music as well. Like, she created such a safe space for me to feel and sing from that authentic place without having to worry about being on the clock, you know, and like paying for hourly. You know, she was just like really incredible in that way, and allowed me to sing freely. And I think it's no surprise. It's no surprise to me that we have fallen in love and have decided to be together as partners now, because making that music together was such a wholesome way to build our foundation as friends first, and to understand each other in a really unique way. So I could not be more thankful for her. I literally, like, as a friend, as a partner, as a producer, she's just exceptional in every way. Everything she does is such high quality. It's just fascinating how somebody could be so multidimensional and talented, like at the top level, like everything she creates, painting, woodworking, music production, like it's all insane. You know, like, I feel honored that I'm even sitting in this studio right now, you know?
Yeah. Shout out to her too. You know, I'm sure she'll end up listening to this. So shout out to her. She sounds like an absolutely wonderful
person, unbelievable,
and comrade, and all of those things that she is for you, like just in one, which is so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to her. She's the coolest. Like, she's going to be huge. I feel it in my bones. Like, she's got her own music that she's getting ready to release this summer. And like, she's been doing the work Like, she's been healing. We both have been healing. We've been learning about each other. We saw each other for 8 months before we decided that we wanted to actually be together.
Yeah.
Like, we really were intentional about it because we wanted to make sure that we were healthy and that we were both independent individuals who weren't codependent on each other, but could support each other and add value to each other's cup instead of, you know, pouring out of our own cup to fill each other up. And then, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That whole toxicity, but yeah, she's amazing.
That's so great. How, like, it's also, you kind of defy the, just kind of the age old idea of like not dating your coworker, right? Like that's a big, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we all hear that. And like, right. I feel like that's maybe more office setting, but what, have yeah. you ever, like, how do you guys balance that a little bit? Like, how does yeah. that come into play for you? Because there's going to be times, I'm sure, where it's like, okay, mm-hmm. look, now I'm stepping into my producer role, or for you're saying, mm-hmm. well, now I'm stepping into you as my artist. Like, mm-hmm. like I need to, we need whatever. Yeah. How does that work?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. It has been fascinating for both of us because we've had many bumps in the road. Like, we've had a lot of very challenging conversations, very honest and vulnerable. Like, the honesty between the two of us, I think, is what makes our relationship so functional and so successful. Is we don't hold anything back. We share how we're feeling with each other freely, and we hold space for each other and know that we're safe to share how we feel. So there have definitely been times when we had a rough night, but we knew we had to record the next day, mm-hmm. you know, and how to like come in and work. But this is why I also think our relationship and our dynamic as like client, whatever, you know, I'm talking about client,
yeah, yeah.
like that relationship that we have professionally, we have so much respect for each other and our profession in the art that we're trying to create, that in the times that we did have a rough situation that caused some tension, when we got into the studio, it was time to work. Like, nice. We would deal with our personal problems after the work was finished. And we both were on the same page about it. We never even needed to talk about it. It was like, I came in knowing that my feelings were hurt, but knowing that if she could see my sadness, she wouldn't be as functional and as productive as my producer if she was feeling anxious about hurting my feelings. So I came in happy, ready to go with a great attitude. We got everything done that we needed to get done. And then it was like, we'll have a conversation about our relationship later.
Yeah. Yeah.
You like, know, we'll figure this out. Yeah. I love you, but I'm going to go now. Things are not okay yet, but they will be. I just needed to get this done. And she respects it. And I respect her. And in the reverse, you know, when I've done things that have bothered her, like, she shows up and she does her job. And like, we get through what we need to get through. So it's just like, it's just such a beautiful connection that we have. And I mm-hmm. feel very blessed to be in this situation.
I've always questioned that idea of like not dating a coworker, really for the reasons that you're explaining, because when you work with someone, you find the ways to do something, whatever that thing is that you're actually working on from the work standpoint, in an effective way. So you see the strengths that one has and also the areas of maybe difficulty that they might have. And you find a way to blend the two in a way to make X, whatever you're doing at work. So why would that not be the same then if you did a relationship when X is the two relating, you know what I mean? Like, the relationship itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that like, if you're operating from a place of fear or lack, the natural tendency is to think like, oh, well, if this doesn't work out, our relationship, then work is going to be awkward. But why are you even thinking that way?
Yeah.
You know, like, I could say, oh my God, if Tori and I ever broke up, like, would I lose my producer? Like, that would be really devastating for me. But like, the answer is no. Like, one, I don't think that way. I have plan A, and that's it.
Yeah.
There is no plan B, in the words of Arnold Schwarzenegger. There's no plan B in this situation. And if our relationship, like, that's how I view it. It's like, I'm viewing this for success. If something derails the plan, okay, we have enough trust and love and respect for each other to continue our professional relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we care about each other and we want to be in each other's lives that much. And I hope that would be the same for everybody in their work, you know, a personal relationship with work. Like, even if you are working or you want to be dating your coworker and you're worried about how it would affect work, like you just have to have enough respect for yourself and for the other person to know that if something ever did separate your romantic relationship, that you would be able to carry on, you know, cordially and respectfully, because no relationship should end in some toxic, dramatic, like if there's toxicity and drama and negativity, it's clearly a reflection of the self work that needs to be done on both parties. Mm-hmm. You know, like every conversation, if we're healthy, should be coming from a place of love. And if it's not, it's our ego that's getting in the way. So
it's profound. Yeah. Thanks, Karin. I agree with you. It's, you know, I'm sure, you know, Hall and Oates, Daryl Hall and John Oates. They're
I think so.
Yeah. They're an old classic rock pop music duo. Okay. Well, they hated each other. Like they could not stand each other, which is so fascinating because they're still touring like to this day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, you would know them. Like they did Rich Girl. Rich Girl.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's Hall & Oates. Yeah. So that's Hall & Oates. And they've got plenty of others that you know.
Sure, sure.
But they cannot stand each other. And forever, like it's been that way forever. You could read about this and they are still touring together. They find a way to put the, whatever, I don't know why they don't like each other, but they put that aside to produce some rock and music and are still touring. I don't know if they still hate each other. I would imagine at some point they'd probably get over that, but who knows?
Sure.
Or also it makes me think of Ryan Hurd, who's now a country singer, and Maren Morris, who are now dating. He like produced her and then eventually, well, there they go. They just released their first song together like last year or something.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of cool. Like kind of some of that more so echoes what is going on with you and Tori.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Tori and I are really excited to release. We're working on songs together right now that are going to be released under her name, but just featuring me, that are cool. Really fun. So we're really excited for that chapter.
Tell me a little bit about that. So does she have a music name or is she just going to go by Tori? Like yours is obviously Karin. And so that works out.
But
I don't know like if you could do that with a name like Tori. I don't know. Like what's her thought and how did you settle on just going with just Karin, and tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yeah. Well, for your first question, her producer name is Mylan. It's her mom's maiden name and it's spelled Milan, but it's Mylan.
Okay.
And it's like M space, I space, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So make it artsy. That's how you can find it.
Cool.
But,
nice.
For me, well, when I made my Instagram, that's like, I named my business, my LLC, my Instagram, it's all pure Karin. Mm-hmm. And so I settled on that because this is so nerdy.
Okay.
But when I was in the seventh grade, we did our first research project in school where we went to the computer lab, and our research assignment was, this is like them teaching us how to use computers, but our research assignment was to look up the origin and meaning of our first name. And I have a weird first name, Karin. It's spelled differently. There's an H, K-A-H-R-I-N. It's spelled totally differently. It's Norwegian. And so I was like, I don't think I'm going to find anything, but I typed it in. And it's the Scandinavian origin and meaning of the word Karin is pure.
Nice.
And I thought it was so cool that I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want it to come across like I was bragging, because I was like, that's so cool.
Yeah,
and like I tell people that, I don't want to come across like I'm pure, like, but like inside I was like, I want to be that, you know, I want to be that, but I'm not going to tell anyone. But now I'm telling everyone, telling you.
Yeah, cat's out of the bag, right?
Yeah. Cat's out of the bag. But that's why I named my Instagram Pure Karin. And because it's kind of like another lighthouse for me, you know, it's like, it's a reminder that this is what I'm striving for. This is literally the meaning of my name. When people see Karin, when they listen to Karin's music, when they come to a show, I want them to feel an overwhelm of purity and safety and peace and love. So I think for me, just having it be Karin as my music name is just very simple to me. It's mm-hmm. like, it also puts a lot more pressure on me because anything that I put into the world is now associated with me as a human. Mm-hmm. So it keeps me operating at the standard that I want to operate at as a human being. I want everything that I do or that I create to resonate with that emotion of love and peace and purity. So that's why.
Yeah, that's a really cool way to look at it too, Karin.
Thanks.
You know, appreciate like it. You, it's that I mentioned this before in another podcast, so people are probably stopped, but the Matthew McConaughey, who's your hero? It's me in 10 years, you know? And then the same thing, me in 10 years. It does. It's that way of holding yourself to a standard that you want to live and to grow and to develop and be Karin, be pure.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it's cool. You know, it's my grandma's name. It's her grandma's name. It just,
is it really?
Yeah. So it's a very sacred name on my mom's side of the family too. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I used to hate my name
because it was different, but now I love it. Yeah.
Why? What'd you hate about it?
It was different and I just wanted to fit in. I wanted to blend in so bad. And one, you never get a keychain with your name on it. You just don't. They don't exist. Yeah. And when I was little, I was always like, man, I really want one. Or like, gosh, it would be nice if people could pronounce my name right.
What do people say? You know,
I still deal with that every day. Oh my gosh. Karin mostly. Somebody actually came up to me once and said, it's a rough time to be a Karin, isn't it? I'm like, my name is not one. Karin.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's not Karin. I get Karin a lot. I get Caitlin a lot. What? Catherine. I've gotten Kareem once. That was different.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Caitlin, like there's
where's the T? I don't get it.
No. Where's like half of it?
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, interesting. Yeah, that's always fascinating. I mean, anyway. you could have Joe Clark. If you wanted to blend in, you could Joe have Clark. Joe Clark. Yeah.
Joe Clark.
There you go. That's it was definitely you could find everything on the keychain there.
Yeah, you got first and last name keychain.
That's right. Yeah. So Karin, you have a single coming out August 7th, Loser.
Yes, Loser is coming out.
What's going on with it? Tell us about Loser.
Yeah, so Loser is a song that I wrote during that time, right around the time that I wrote Onward Then, actually. It was another expression. It was a reminder for me. Onward Then was an anthem. It was a reminder for me to keep pushing forward. Loser was the same way. It was another one for me, but it wasn't like an upbeat song when it was originally written. It's actually very sad and depressing. Okay. But it was like the music was sad, but the lyrics were uplifting. It's, do you ever feel like a loser? Do you ever feel not enough? Do you ever feel like no one's listening above? Well, that makes two of us. But then the bridge, you know, was like, it's not true. It's not true. I am loved and you are too. So that makes two of us. And that was, I wrote that song to remind myself that I'm loved and that I'm worthy and that this sadness and this depression that I'm feeling isn't going to last forever and that I will be cherished and I will not feel this way for the rest of my life. And so I'm really pumped to share this one with people online. So that'll be coming out on August 7th. Yeah.
August 7th. So everyone check out the link. If you're on YouTube, it'll be in either the description or comments, whatever YouTube lets me do. Same thing on the podcast. I'll throw it in there. So check out Loser. Do you have like the pre-download link? Do you have one?
Yeah, I will have as soon as it's uploaded, which it should be by July 7th at the latest. As soon as it's uploaded, I'll have the pre-save link available and I can send it to you.
So cool. All right. And so is this the start for your second album? Are you going to, because you know how people release their singles and they put out the album. What are you thinking?
Yeah, well, there's just, like I said, in that time when I was traveling, I wrote a lot of songs. And even when I came home and was living downtown, I had written a lot of songs. So there's a few songs that I just want to release as singles that are just like, I can't wait to share these. The second album I'm writing right now. And that I'm thinking we'll probably start recording in the fall and release in the spring next year. But before we do that, me and Tori are actually going to release an entire version of this first album stripped down on the piano. Beautiful. And we'll release that in October or November. So I'm really pumped about that one.
Wow. Yeah. I love when people do that. Like,
yeah,
I'm a big
she's
Halsey
so good
fan
on the piano too. Is she? She's just so talented. Like, yeah, she's just so talented. So I'm
she
really
can do everything.
Pumped. Yeah, I know.
That's cool. Everything. Like,
it's crazy.
You said woodcrafting to piano
yeah.
to
painting.
She produces you painting. Yeah.
She DJs now. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
She's crazy.
Yeah.
So cool.
That'd be fun. You guys should do something on the DJ, like on a board too. That'd be cool.
We'll do something. She just did a DJ set the other day and it was a blast. So she might do it again.
Yeah. You want to tell us a little bit about your first album? Do you want to tell us about you told us about how you pieced them together, the songs and everything. You want to tell us about the overall story? Do you want to tell us about, like, we heard the story, but maybe like anything you want to tell us about it? Give us the name, give us when you came out with it, the production process, maybe like the backstory about your first album.
Sure. Yeah. So this first album I released in February of 2021 this year. Mm-hmm. And I recorded it in Independence with Tori at her home studio, which we're working on rebranding and renaming. It might become something that's open to like the public soon. But it's called Karin. It's just a very vulnerable expression of my life journey post-graduating from college up until quarantine, just about. It's a snapshot of everything I was feeling, experiencing, going through. And I'm thankful that it's out. I'm thankful that I had the resources. I feel very privileged to have had the resources to make it come to life. It really helped me heal and process the heartbreak that I was going through. And I'm really honored to see the feedback that I'm getting from it. It makes me energized to keep writing and keep releasing music. It's a great first step.
I love it too. Like everyone loves it. All of like the John Carroll community that I know, like everyone loves it. You know, it's that part so special. It's awesome to see, like, I don't know, for example, like just casually going through Instagram and I'm like, oh, hey, that's someone listening to Karin's album. You know, like they'll post like how people post music to their stories and stuff. I'm like, that's Karin. Like that's sick.
Oh my God. That's so cool.
Yeah. That's the best. I'm always like, that's cool. Like that's what it's about right there. Like that is you influencing people.
Yeah, well, it's just the support. Like the support is amazing. Yeah. People are so kind. And that's like what blows my mind is like, oh my God, you're actually listening. You like this. That's so cool. Like, so cool.
So looking at your second album, do you have a title for it yet? Do you have any of that you want to talk about?
Yeah, we can talk about it.
Okay, it's up to you.
So the second album was going to be called Voice. And it was going to be, like I said, when I was writing all those songs and I realized I had two albums, the first one was Karin. Mm-hmm. The second one was going to be called Voice. And each song was speaking to a particular social justice issue that has been bothering me for a long time that I haven't been able to express in a way that resonated with me. But in October of last year, my brother got married and the weekend of the wedding, I had this really incredible experience with my papa. And to make a long story short, he sat me down and opened up this book of poetry that he had written back in 1996 called Poems from Willow Creek. And this poetry book, there's like 30 poems in there. And they're just his honest expression of recalling his childhood, recalling some of the tough memories or some of the amazing friends he had. It's like this beautiful expression of his life. And he was reading them to me. And I'm sitting there looking at him like him and I did not get along for a lot of my life. We just didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things, but he has totally turned his life around since his 80th birthday, which was 2 years ago.
Wow.
And like really has transformed his whole life. And it's been unbelievable to watch. So inspiring to do that at 80 is like, anybody can, it's never too late to turn your life around.
That's the first thing that popped into my head when you said that. Yeah.
Like so incredible. So I just have so much respect for him now. And I'm sitting there looking at him and realizing like, wow, we're not that different. You know, I thought we were so much more different than I thought we were more different than we are. And I realized that he's a storyteller. That's what he's been my whole life. And he's an artist. He painted, mm-hmm. he did sculpture, he wrote poetry. I see like a lot of similarities between the two of us. And so he left the room and I sat there with his cowboy hat on my head and read the preface of his poetry book. And it said that he had never made any serious attempts at writing any written works. And he's sure that this attempt will have no literary impact on the world. And when I read that line, it was like a blanket of oh my God, like clarity, this washed over me. Like I started sobbing. Like, this is my second album.
Yeah. I have to take.
Yeah. It was like so moving. And so like, I just started bawling and was like, these poems are going to have a literary impact on the world. If I have anything to say about it, I'm going to try, you know, I don't know. I never know how people will receive anything I put out, sure, but I'm going to sure try. So this album, I'm taking 11 songs from his poetry book and I'm writing, or I'm taking 11 poems from his poetry book and I'm writing songs using his lyrics as much as possible. So it's been a really different process, you know, writing a song or an album with lyrics, the majority of the lyrics already being done as a songwriter is super wild. Like such a unique experience, you know? Oh, and it's so sacred because it's my papa. So
he is going to really love that.
Needless
to say,
he was when so he hears that, when I told him.
Yeah. What did he say about that?
He was just, he does this classic thing where he goes and he like puts his hand on his chest and like leans back with this gasp. Like it's so dramatic and adorable. And that's what he did when I told him. He got all welled up and, but then in true Papa's fear of fashion, he goes, you can do whatever you want with the poems and I won't charge you a nickel. I said, thanks, Papa.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, he's hilarious. But
he's got to be front row when you go on tour for that album. Yeah.
And I know that this album needs to come second because he's 82 now. So it needs to come out so that he can enjoy it. I want to bring, he's going to be coming into the studio and we're going to have him record some stuff, which I won't talk about yet, but but he's going to be on the actual record, which is also such an incredible gift to be able to have a grandparent on one of my songs, you know, and to be creating an album from something that he had already written is just such a beautiful experience.
The genre that you're in, like kind of that like folky indie kind of acoustic genre, whatever you want to call it specifically, is really like what I really love about that genre is that like you have the option to do something where you're, it's so creative, like to take this book of poems and to create songs from words that have already been written and adapt it to a musical setting is awesome. Yeah. And that your 82-year-old grandfather is going to be in the studio with you doing whatever you guys end up doing.
So cool. He was so sweet. Karin. When I told him, he was like, that would be neat. I think I'd like that. I was oh my gosh, you're so cute. Yeah, it's really, I just feel so blessed. I feel like uni is my word for God. But I feel like uni has just given me the most incredible experiences recently. And I'm just, I don't even, like, I'm so overwhelmed with gratitude and joy that it's hard to contain. Like, that's I just powerful. Feel so thankful and so joyful that this is what I get to be doing with my life every day. It's truly an honor.
Well, it's an honor to hear it too. So yeah, we thank you on behalf of everyone that gets to hear it. We thank you for doing what you feel called and compelled to do. So
thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Not off the record, I guess we're recording this, but if you haven't thought about it, give some thought to maybe doing one of those like intros to that album, like as like a testimony to him. He might eat that up. Like, I'm sure you got something in the works, but I was just saying,
we
like,
have something very exciting in the works.
Yeah. I believe it. I bet this is not a new idea to you. I'm just so elated to hear this when this comes out. Like you have no idea. Yeah.
That's how I feel because like this last project was for me, you know, it was for me. And the fact that other people are finding any meaning and or healing in it is truly a blessing because it was meant to heal me. But this album is not about me at all. This album is a tribute and an honor to my papa and my family. And that to me is the coolest experience because like I'm truly a vessel in this situation. None of this is like, it is so not about me. I'm just so honored that I get to sing and I get to create the music to honor him, you know, like what an amazing blessing that is. So I'm just so excited to share that with the world because everybody's going to get to hear the way my papa thinks. And they're going to get to hear his words and his reflections. And like, they're deep, you know, like he's a deep guy. So it's like really neat that this is even happening, you know?
Yeah. What did he do with his life real quick? Like if you can, I mean,
he's done a lot of different things, but
yeah. What's he about? Yeah.
He's a cowboy.
He's a cowboy. Like,
he's a cowboy. That's his identifier to me. He grew up on a farm. Our family, they raised steer and had a meat market or a butcher shop or whatever. They also were in the car business. We had a car dealership right up the street from where I grew up.
God, it's a wicked business.
Yeah, he did. So he was in the car business. He was a cowboy taking care of the animals. He also was in the real estate and home. Like he had a home building company with my dad for a while. So now he's obviously retired and he just works on the ranch and takes care of the animals at his partner's farm, which is cool. So he's just a cowboy, you know,
just he had cap
guns all over his house, leather assless chaps hanging on the wall. Like that's him.
That's him. Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
You said that farm is, we had talked before and you said that farm's out in Chardon. You guys have like 20 acres or something out there and you all grew up on it.
Yeah. So I grew up on that land. My dad grew up on that land. My papa grew up on that land with his dad and his grandpa. So my great grandpa.
Yeah.
So we've had the land for about 80 years and there's this creek that runs through it that we used to play in called Willow Creek. And that's what the poems from Willow Creek is about. Like that's the name of the farm is Willow Creek Farm.
Yeah. You know, when you describe it, like you said as cowboy, like I'm just picturing like a guy who has used himself completely and to help animals, to help his family, to put himself and those around him, both animal and humans, in like a cool, great position. You know, this guy, like I picture it, like you just can picture this dude, like leaning on, you know, like leaning on his knees, got the cowboy hat on, writing poems down by the creek, probably like whiskey next to him or something. Like,
most likely.
Yeah, you can picture it.
Definitely. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
So cool, Karin. I am truly, really excited for you with this project and a great testimony to him and to Willow Creek and to the land in Chardon.
Yeah.
Thank and I don't you. Think that's the only project you have going on upcoming at this special land, is it?
No, of course not. I'm always doing like 25 things at once because I don't know how to relax, like work-wise. But it's so fun. How could I not, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, this summer, I talked to my parents and said, hey, I'm thinking about starting a music festival. What do you guys think? And this is how cool my parents are. That they were like, oh, you should do it on our land. I was like, who, what? What parents say that? Like, what parents say, oh, you want to do, first of all, in the Midwest, getting your parents to support a music career is a rarity. Like, I have a lot of friends that do music and like they struggle feeling that level of support. So I'm super humbled and honored that my parents support me this much. It's crazy. So they're like, yeah, you should do it at our property. I was like, that's a great idea. So that's what we're in the middle of planning right now. The festival is August 14th on a Saturday. And we're starting the day off with yoga at noon with this incredible yoga instructor that I've come to know just from practicing yoga myself. And then we've got 8 bands on the lineup.
Oh man.
We start at 1:00. We're also doing, again, this is the second round. I really love supporting local art and culture. I think it's super important because culture is one of my biggest fascinations. That's why I studied it or got the degree in it. And so for my release show, I did this market where I invited like 8 or 9 local vendors to come and pop up a table and share the space and make money. Like, I don't need anything from you. Come and set up a table and show the people in my world, your world. And let's merge. Let's like get you exposed. Let's let you walk out of here with a couple $100 and have a great time.
Absolutely.
And it was a success and it was awesome. And the artists Congrats. That came had a great time. So I was like, okay, this is something that works. And the people that came to the show had good feedback that they enjoyed walking through the market. So we're going to blow that up this time for the festival and hopefully get close to 20 or 25 vendors in a huge tent. So it's going to be like a day of music, art, healing with the yoga and with some of the other activities that we have planned out on my family's farm in Chardon for $35.
That's so cool. Yeah. My gosh. I mean, you know what's like amazing is like Woodstock and Lala and all those things. Like they had to all start like this, like at some point, like they start on someone's land as an idea that grows to be just beautiful. Yeah. And it's already beautiful. I'm not saying it's not, like, I just mean like,
oh God, it's definitely hopefully going to get better every year. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I want it. Woodstock is my inspiration, maybe a little less acid and a little more grounded reflection, but you know, like that's what I want it to feel like this blissful day that is a dream for everyone. I want everybody that's there to walk out feeling like, where have I been for the last X amount of hours? Like, I want them to feel like they've teleported into a world of complete serenity, peace, art, community, and love for just as an escape. And mm-hmm. I want them to like really gain something from it. It's not just about having a music festival and like growing as a musician or whatever. It's about creating a world or an experience that as many people as we can fit on our property to jump into and hopefully gain something from.
Yeah. Now, Karin, Happy Healing Music Festival, right?
Yes.
That's what we're calling it. Yeah. Do you want to touch on that name a little bit?
Yeah. So Happy Healing is like this tagline or slogan. It's like my send off or sign off that I leave people with, because it goes back to that time when I was traveling and the paradox that I was experiencing of so much suffering and so much joy at the same time. And I think that's what life is. I think like we're all focusing on feeling only the joy, but like the suffering or the healing is equally necessary because that's where we learn. That's where we discover something new about ourselves, about someone else, and we need it. Like if we can stop running from the suffering or stop trying to avoid it or neglect it or bottle it up, if we can just feel it and stare at it and figure out why it's here and what it's trying to teach us, life becomes a lot more beautiful. Because you recognize that in every moment that you're experiencing suffering or healing, you're also equally invited to experience joy or happy. Like that's they great. Coincide side by side mm-hmm. in every single moment. It's just a matter of what aspect of the narrative you're going to focus on. Are you going to focus on the suffering right now? Or are you going to focus on the joy? Or even better, are you going to sit with both in the middle where the gratitude is? I think the gratitude is like your focal point that allows you to feel the suffering and the joy without letting the suffering overcome you or the joy distract you or overcome you or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I have to, while you're presenting me this on a platter, I am a big gratitude guy. And I think the way that you just described it is a perspective I had not thought about really in that lens, but is gorgeous, really gorgeous.
Thank you.
So do you personally, as an artist, as an individual, as a videographer, photographer, as all of the different things that you do, as a music festival planner, as the granddaughter of a cowboy, do you find that gratitude changes its roles for you? Or is it consistently this meshing of suffering and of joy? And it is the middle ground where you can appreciate both the growth that comes from both and the joy and the suffering in and of themselves.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that gratitude is the key to having a beautiful life.
Amen.
Truly. I think that gratitude allows you to experience suffering in a healthy way. Without gratitude, suffering is toxic and can drain you and can destroy you because it's heavy, because the problems that we're experiencing are real. But if there's always a mindset of gratitude there, it makes things less heavy because you can recognize that I'm learning something here. If I can find gratitude in a painful experience that I'm having, I have to be recognizing that there's something valuable here in the suffering. And that alone can liberate you the days that you are like, I want to kill myself or I want to stay in bed all day. So I think gratitude is like, it is the rest. Like, I think gratitude and forgiveness are the recipe. Forgiveness of yourself mostly, but also forgiveness of other people. Yeah. That's what I think.
So liberating. No, that's awesome, Karin. I mean, I'm like blown away. That is beautiful. Yeah. It's like people who live grateful lives are just going to be happier because you can take things and not make them as daunting where you want to stay in bed all day. It takes it down to a level where it's like you break it up, you look at something and you're like, okay, I might not understand this now, but I'm grateful for it because I can X know it, what it is later. You know, I am learning from it. It's building me strength. It's allowing me to appreciate joy. Anything that one can find in it as we break it down is really what makes us happier and allows life to be the most wholesome that I think it can be.
Yeah. It's changed my life in more ways than one. I remember when I was in college, my junior year, I was going through a really hard, time. I had just gotten cheated on, got my heart broken, and was still suffering so much with being in the closet and trying to figure out how to exist as an LGBTQ person at a Catholic school in the Midwest. And my brother actually gave me probably one of the best pieces of advice ever in my life. And he said, why don't you try saying thank you as many times as you can throughout the day and make the sign of the cross or some kind of symbol on your chest or on your forehead that you can pair together. So like, let's just say you walk by a flower bush and you enjoy the smell, make the symbol and say thank you in your head as many times as you can throughout the day. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I don't need that. I was so like, just so caught in the suffering that I was like, no.
Yeah.
But then I got to a point where I was desperate and I was like, I have nothing to lose. So I started doing it, but I was making a circle on my chest. And Joe, I'm not even kidding. My life changed. Like the more I started doing it, like it's so hard to describe. Like it sounds like I'm joking, but I'm not. Like the green was more, everything was more saturated. Like I could see colors more. I could hear noises more. I could hear the birds now. I could hear the laughter. I could hear the distant, you know, like things in the distance. Everything was like heightened for me. Like my sensory experience was heightened and it all started from gratitude.
Yeah. You were so present, man.
Yeah. Cause it is the key. Yes, that is exactly it. It is the key that brings you into the present moment. And when you're in the present moment and you're not caught in the past trauma of your life or the worrisome of the future, you're here. And here can be bliss if you choose it. Mm-hmm. And gratitude, I think, is that stepping stone to experience that bliss. So wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
It literally is the coolest thing. I tell everybody that they should try it. It's like magic. It's like putting symbols to an expression or an intention. It's like magic. I don't even know.
No, yeah. You get so aware. Like an awareness is key to anything. Mm-hmm. It's the key to growth. It's the key to appreciating life at that bliss. What's funny, Karin, is I actually do that. If I do anything, usually like I just take my fist, it's so dumb. And like if this were my hip, like I just knock it on my hip twice. I don't know why I like that. Like
that's like my thing.
Like, I don't know what the knocking does for me. Like,
that's
but
great.
That's what I like. I just like,
but that's man, that, like, that's right great. There. That's the same. Like, that's your symbol, you know?
Yeah. And but that's like the same thing. I'm always like, you know, like, thank you, God, for this. And that, like, my mind is everywhere. Like, God, if I could focus on something, heaven forbid. But it's like, yeah, but it's that, like, you know, I'm like, oh man, like, thank you, God, for this air. And I'm like, I hit my hip twice. I don't know, but you're right. It is something that's like so physical cool. That it's you like, do. And like, this thing that you just mesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like a physical thing. Like it becomes a habit the more you do it. And it becomes easy and it becomes mindless and effortless. And then next thing you know, you're making that hip knock twice on your leg, like 40 times that day.
Yeah.
Or you're making a circle on your chest 40 times that day. And all of a sudden you're like, I had an amazing day. And like,
so true.
It becomes second nature. Like it becomes second nature. Gratitude becomes second nature when you, at least for me, it's become second nature doing the exercise of pairing it with an action, because I start doing it unconsciously. I'll be walking, you know, down the street and I'll experience somebody helping an elderly person cross the road. And I'm just like, you know, making my circle, not even thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also stops like you're complaining and any mindset, like we all complain sometimes, but the more we do that, the more we think the world around us is just so underwhelming. you know, yes. Like, whereas contrarily, when we're knocking on our hip, when we're making circles and we're thanking the uni or God or right. What have you, then it's beautiful. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Can and we be. Appreciate it. Yeah, it can be. Yeah. Can be. You open the door to it.
Yeah.
So great sidebar there. Thank you for opening that door to Karin. Yeah. I appreciate the gratitude plug. Just to tie it back, we're talking about the Happy Healing Music Festival. Again, it's August 14th in Chardon, Ohio. You said it's $35. Yes.
$35. Yeah. The first 100 people that buy the ticket will get a VIP pass for the pit, backstage, whatever.
Yeah.
A custom wooden guitar pick, a signed Sick. Poster, and a Happy Healing Music Festival button. I'm trying nice. To say, like, so the people that want to support me early, I want to give them something special as a thank you. So
super cool. And yeah. Karin, how do you get tickets?
You can get tickets again in my link in bio. I have, if you click that flow page link, it'll open up and you'll see the Happy Healing Fest will be right there. And that'll take you to the Eventbrite for the ticket link. Eventually, hopefully by tomorrow, the webpage that has all the information about the festival will be online. I'm almost done with it, but I'm not quite done.
Congratulations.
It'll That's be so up, cool. but yeah. my link in bio. Yeah.
All right. So everyone's listening. The music festival, August 14th, Chardon, Ohio. It's called the Happy Healing Music Festival. It's Karin. It's everything that you need to experience that world and to be a part of it. The tickets are in her bio. Check it out. I'll have it below in the comments on YouTube or in the description and in the podcast description as well. So get your tickets, be within that first 100 people, be in the pit, be backstage with Karin and her crew. Like, let's go.
Let's go. It's going to be a really awesome day, I think. I think it's just going to be really beautiful.
It is. Yeah. And oh man. And for anyone who, I mean, hopefully someone from out of town comes, I don't know, but like August 14th in Cleveland, Chardon, whatever is, I mean, that's a rocking time. It is beautiful out.
Beautiful. Yeah. We have this goldenrod that grows on our property too, that blooms around that time. And it's just, it's magical out there. Man. Like it really is such a safe space. So I'm just looking forward for people to experience that exhale if that's what they need.
And the sunset that we're going to experience out there, I hear is quite breathtaking.
Oh yeah. I just made the Happy Healing Instagram. So I will be sharing just pictures that I'm taking in my backyard of the sunsets that we have there. Cause it's like, it's just like, I don't know. It's just beautiful. It's a dream. Yeah. Like I feel so lucky that I got to grow up there, you know?
Absolutely. You know, what's funny is like places that are rural tend to, or like have a lot of land. It always seems clear. Like I remember my one buddy, we'd go up to Kelly's Island. He had a place up there. And like, when you were outside at night, the sky was the clearest thing. I don't know what it is. I'm like, why does it seem so clear? Like, you know, well, and it's beautiful. Light
pollution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. So everyone check out the Instagram page now too. Karin, one more thing on this Happy Healing idea. You have started a podcast that originally was Happy Healing and is tangent a little bit. You want to let us in on your podcast? Is it part of this whole Happy Healing, this blissful world where we embrace our suffering, embrace our joy, live gratefully? Like, tell us a little bit about your podcast and your inspiration for it, what your vision is for it, and where we can find it.
Yeah, thanks for that. I knew I wanted to start a podcast just because it's another medium to connect with other people and let them into my mind and the stories that I've collected over the years. And I originally released the podcast as the Happy Healing Podcast, and it took me releasing it to realize that that's not what it is meant to be.
Okay.
And so I did some more reflecting and realized that, like, while happy healing is important and is part of the message that I'm trying to send, the biggest message right now that I want people to associate with me is the lyric from Onward Then, just one step forward. Because I think with the happy and the healing and the suffering and the joy and all of that, the most important thing is to keep moving forward, no matter what. Like, do not give up on yourself, on your dreams, on your friends, on your family, on anything. Like, keep trying to get to a better place, keep growing. So I re-released the podcast last month for the first episode. And so now it's called Just One Step Forward with Karin, and it's on YouTube and, or maybe it's not on YouTube. It's on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and wherever, you know, the typical podcast streaming platforms are. But the next episode, I actually need to go record right now. Because I release them on the 30th of every month.
30th of every month. It's June 30th for everyone listening.
It's June 30th, so. And I have to record it now.
That's all right. That's all right.
That's the story of my life.
One step forward. One step forward, Karin.
One step forward.
That's it. Great. Well, I'm excited to check it out. The first one was really great, too. And
thank you.
Yeah, you have a really nice way of putting your thoughts out there and incorporating your stories, too, in a way that also allows people to relate them to their own stories, because I think that's what's really cool about a story when it comes from the perspective of like trying to influence people, as opposed to just like, oh, that's a funny story, you know, like a story that's has some deeper meaning, is that if we can look at the story that you share, that I share, whatever, that someone shares, and take it and understand it and take the principles from it and relate it to our own stories, that's a huge connection. That is
that's really amazing feedback. Thank you for that.
Oh yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
Karin, is there anything else that you want to touch on as we come to a nearing close so you can record your own podcast episode?
Yeah, no, I am so, so good. Thank you so much for all of your questions and taking so much time to listen and, I don't know, just care about my journey. I really, really appreciate it. It means a lot to me.
It's a real honor. You know, just a quick shout out too, to the John Carroll community, Katie Jansen said I needed to talk to Don Winkle, and Don said I needed to talk to Karin, and boom, one thing leads to another. And Karin is on Chats with Clark, and we're talking about her musical career and everything that you just heard. So Karin, I have one last question for you that is kind of tough. And I would say that it's hard, especially tough because you've talked about it already a plethora of times throughout this, but if you had one piece of advice to whatever audience you want to direct it to future generations, to your past self, to whomever, what is the one piece of closing advice that you would give to us listening?
Gratitude gets your foot in the door, but humility gets you a seat at the table.
Wow. So gratitude gets your foot in the door and humility gets you a seat at the table.
Yeah. In whatever that is.
Yeah. Wow. And you found that in your life because you've exhibited gratitude, and your humility has allowed you to do all these amazing things, from the music festival to producing music itself to starting a video company and moving out of downtown back into your family's house, everything.
It's just, I recognize that my life goes a lot better when I'm humble and when I'm grateful. When I'm not, when I'm out of alignment with those two things, I'm fighting the current. So
fighting the current.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, Karin. Yeah. So thank you. So gratitude gets your foot in the door, everybody, and humility will get you a seat at the table. The wise words of Karin. Again, June 30th, 2021, right before we hear our next episode of One Step Forward.
Thank you.
So everybody, this has been another episode of Chats with Clark. Thanks for tuning in. If you haven't already, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening to this podcast. If you're on YouTube, throw us a like. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear your feedback. And again, all information about Karin and everything that she has doing that you've heard about in this podcast episode will be in the description or in the comments. So thank you again, Karin, for being here. This has been absolutely amazing. It's a true honor to talk to you and hear your stories today.
Thank you. Thank you for everything. This has been awesome. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, everybody.